Good morning or good afternoon to you in America, Lachlan.
Good afternoon, Andrew.
Now, why are you in America? We're just basically giving you a brief rundown. You're trying to do some experiments, but first of all, perhaps you could tell us where you are.
Okay, we're in Titusville, Florida, which is about 12 miles from the Kennedy Space Center. And we're with six other schools that are preparing experiments to go on the space shuttle. And I happen to be along with Glen Waverley Secondary College, which has 11 of its students over here, and 30 spiders, which are going to go aboard the space shuttle on Thursday.
And you've been, what have you been doing to get this experiment ready?
Okay, we've been working in the Astrotech labs, and that's the first time that we've actually come to work with the habitats for all the experiments that will actually go into flight. And so we've brought the spiders across, and the other students have brought their experiments across, and we're working with the SpaceHab Astrotech technicians. That's a commercial company that prepares the payload and hands it over to NASA for launch on the space shuttle. And so this is the final countdown, for want of a better word, and all the experiments have to be assembled, the animals or creatures put into their habitats just prior to launch, and then the unit is sealed up and sent across to the space shuttle for the mission.
And what's been the involvement of RMIT University in all this?
Well, we with the zoo have been actually supporting Glen Waverley Secondary College to help develop the program. We act as mentors and facilitators in developing the experiment.
And I believe Melbourne Zoo has also had a hand in it.
Yes, Melbourne Zoo has been fantastic. They've provided all the expertise necessary for the handling of the zoo and of the spiders, and basically have been essential in developing the habitats and the feeding procedures for the spiders.
Now, Glen Waverley Secondary College is not the only group with experiments on this shuttle. Could you perhaps just run us through a couple of the other things, and then we could talk to some of the students?
Okay. Well, some of the other experiments are spice bees in space, and this is from Liechtenstein, and it's Gymnasium Verdes School, and we've got Adina to actually fill you in on that one, and she'll tell you about the experiment. There's silkworms, which is being handled by Dorsey High School from Los Angeles, and Amabel is along to brief everyone on that. And we have ants in space, a la The Simpsons, from GW Fowler High, and Rachel and Abby have come along to give everyone a talk about what they're doing.
Well, perhaps we could talk to Adina then.
Okay, I'll put Adina on.
Okay, and you're listening to Kaleidoscope. Hi. Hello. You're all the way from where?
From Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein.
Now, it's a small country between Austria and Switzerland.
Yes, I was just going to say, those of us with a good geographical knowledge know where that is, but perhaps some of our listeners don't. So thanks for filling us in on that. And you're at high school there? Or a university?
Yes, it's a high school.
A high school. Okay. How old are you?
Yes. I'm fine, thank you.
Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your experiment, please.
Okay. Our experiment is about bees, as you heard. And they are not honeybees. It's about carpenter bees from Arizona. And these bees drill in wood, and so in space we'd like to research if they drill more. So we suppose they drill more in space because they use less energy.
And are you trying to get these things back alive afterwards, the ants?
Yes, we hope so.
Oh, sorry, the bees, sorry, the bees.
Yeah, the bees, yeah, yes. We hope so, yes. Mm.
Now, bees have been flown aboard the space shuttle before. I think it was STS-3.
Yes, but not carpenter bees.
Not carpenter bees, no.
Been there, yes.
Okay, but what my question was leading into, have you studied the results of those experiments, and did they help you design your experiment?
No, we didn't, no.
Okay.
We worked with Steve Buckman, he's a specialist on carpenter bees, and so he helped us to make this.
Okay, and what's his background?
His background?
Yes.
He lives in Arizona, and when he was, he worked with carpenter bees since he's very young, and so he collected these bees as well for us, and so we're in contact with him to know more about these bees. Because, you know, there is no book about carpenter bees or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So he told us everything about these bees.
Now, have you had any thoughts about what might happen to the bees, how they might behave, some of the things you might learn about this?
Yeah. So we had three times we had bees in Liechtenstein, and at first we researched their social behavior and their feeding behavior, and at last we researched their drilling behavior.
Oh, good. Now, is there anything else you can tell us about your experiment, Adina?
Sorry?
Is there anything else you can tell us about your experiment?
I should like to.
Sorry, you maybe didn't understand me. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your experiment?
No.
Oh, okay then. Well, thanks for thanks for talking to us. Perhaps we could speak to Amabel now.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Amabel.
Hi.
And where are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles.
From where?
Los Angeles.
And what's your experiment about?
It's about the sig worm. It's all about the sig worm. Would you want to know the like the different ways, like how the sigworm develop in space? Does it develop more in space than it does on Earth?
And how did you come across the idea of doing this experiment?
It was first of all supposed to be done by the China students. We just like to help them to like be assist them, not until we got a message that they're not coming. So we're supposed to do it by ourselves.
And what are you going to? What sort of larvae are they?
Excuse me.
Could you tell us a bit more about the experiment, please?
Like I said, it's just they're sick worms. They are taken like we send like four different sick worms to space, and like giving two sets, like eight of them on Earth to see the difference, how it grows here, how it develops here, and how it does in space, which one develops more and which one does less, or do they develop the same.
Okay, well, thanks for telling us about your experiment, and I hope it goes well for you. Perhaps we could speak to Rachel now, please. Rachel and Abby.
Okay.
And you're listening to 88.3 Sullen FM, and we're talking to students at the Kennedy Space Centre, or in the area of the Kennedy Space Centre, awaiting the launch of the space shuttle. Hello, who are we talking to?
This is Rachel from the United States.
Oh, hi, Rachel. I believe you're from New York.
Yes.
And your experiment, what are you flying aboard the space shuttle?
We are flying ants. They are harvester ants, and we put them in a special habitat that's filled with gel, sort of like you'd get like a jello solution that you would eat, but it's agar gel. And we are hypothesizing that the ants will tunnel differently. They tunnel inside of the gel, and on the ground, they usually go around their habitat. And we are hypothesizing that in space, they won't know what side is up, so we think that they will tunnel differently than on the ground.
Now, in what way are harvester ants different from the sort of ants we might get here in Australia?
Well, we chose harvester ants because they are very social. They don't harm each other. They're not aggressive. They also are hardy, so we don't think that they'll die anytime soon. They last a long time.
And you've made some hypotheses about presumably what's going to happen in space.
Uh-huh.
And will you have a control group on the ground that you'll also be studying?
Yes, we do. We'll have a control on the ground and one in the shuttle.
Okay. And how are you going to collect the data on it? You've got video cameras and things, or are you just going to, you know, how are we going to know what happens to them in space?
Spacehab has provided us with cameras, and the habitats are backlit, so we can see the tunnels that the ants are making, The all the information will be on the internet, so we can go and check it daily. They are taking them at certain intervals during the day, so we can see exactly the time. They're taking photographs, and they are giving us live data that's streaming.
Oh, that's wonderful. And has your school been very supportive and helpful in getting this experiment designed?
Yes. We've gone through a lot of designs. We started off about 3.5 years ago, and we've had to do a lot of designing, changing the experiment, choosing what solution they were going into. So we've gone through a lot of changes to get to the final project.
Uh-huh. And your who helped you in all this work? Any companies?
Syracuse University is the... We live in Syracuse, New York, and Syracuse University is the college in our area, and they have the ones... They're the ones who have been supporting us, along with Space Hat and BioSurf.
Now, perhaps some of our listeners are a bit familiar with New York. Could you tell us which part of New York your school is?
Our school is in Syracuse. It's central New York. It's about 200 miles from the city.
Okay, so you're in New York State rather than New York City.
Right.
Good, okay. What are you going to do with the ants after you get them back from space?
We don't get them back. They will stay with NASA. We just get to look at the pictures. We don't get anything back.
Oh, okay. So you're not going to have sort of pet ants running around the school for a little while afterwards?
No, we won't get them afterwards. They won't run around.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us here on 88.3 Southern FM in Melbourne, Australia. Perhaps you could... does Abby have anything to say about the experiment?
You can talk to her, sure.
Okay, I'd like to talk to Abby, please.
Okay. Here she is. Thank you very much.
And you're on 88.3 Southern
FM. Hello?
Hello, Abby.
Hi.
Welcome to 88.3 Southern FM in Melbourne, broadcasting live to air about your experiment, which is going up on the space shuttle. Now, Rachel just talked to us about the ants. What was your involvement in this project?
Well, I've been involved for all 3.5 years. So I started when I was in grade 9, and we've all been involved in almost all aspects of the project, design and working on funding and... working on improving the conditions for the ants.
Is it very expensive to fly an experiment on the shuttle?
You know, I actually don't know. I assume it is, but SpaceHab takes care of that for us.
Okay, good. And you're obviously going to have... How long have you been down in Florida then, preparing your experiment?
We've been here since Saturday, but we actually just started preparing it today.
And was the delay in the shuttle launch, you know, the fact that it was delayed, well, in fact, several years, but certainly they were looking like launching in July this last year, has that caused you any problems with your experiment?
It's been a little frustrating, but I think for the most part it's actually been a little beneficial because we've been able to do a lot of redesigns and make the experiment the best it can be.
And how old are you and Rachel?
We're both 17.
Both 17. Great. Fantastic. Well, then, perhaps we could speak to Lauren and Elaine from Glen Waverley Secondary College.
All right. I'll put them on.
Thank you. And you're listening to 88.3 Southern FM broadcasting, talking to students from the Glen Waverley Secondary College in Melbourne, Australia. And they are actually at Kennedy Space Centre preparing to launch spiders into space. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Lauren?
Hi, this is Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. Can you tell us something about your experiment?
We are sending spiders into space, and we're trying to see how the webs differ. Down here they have gravity to help them build their webs, but we want to know how they build their webs if there isn't any gravity.
What sort of spiders are you using?
We're sending up garden orb weavers.
Garden orb weavers. Could you describe them to us, for those who aren't familiar with different types of spiders?
They don't grow to be more than 3 centimetres. They're found in all the backyards around Melbourne, actually mainly around Australia. They're sort of a browny colour. They have a sort of a pattern on their backs, and they're not very big at all.
Are they mature spiders or are they young ones?
No, we're sending up... They're 6 months off being adults. We can't send them up when they're adults, and what we need is for the spiders to adapt to the box, because when they adapt to the boxes, they build better webs. We found that if we suck one from the environment straight
straight into a habitat box. It didn't build proper webs.
So they sort of got to get used to the box and where they are.
Yes.
I believe you've got a problem with feeding them.
With feeding them?
Feeding them. You can't just sort of leave a bit of dead meat around.
No. We have an agar substance and we have fruit flies, and what happens is that the eggs are in the agar gel and it's on a cycle, so that every few days we have fruit flies released to feed the spider.
Well, I should have thought, are you using, what, Florida fruit flies?
Yes, we are.
You are? Okay. Because I'd just say they wouldn't be very keen on getting any fruit flies from Australia, would they?
No, we've had a lot of trouble with that.
Are you going to bring the spiders back to Australia afterwards?
Yes, they will be.
Okay.
There's a guy called Nick Koss, and he'll be studying them as part of a thesis.
Now, one of the things we told our listeners before we went on air is that so far there have been two Australians go into space. One is Paul Scully Power, and the other one is Andy Thomas. And I believe you're going to increase that number by quite a large amount. How many spiders are going?
We're sending up, there'll be one main spider and seven backups.
So how many are actually going to go into space?
All eight will be.
All eight, I see. Okay, all eight go into space.
There'll be one main spider who'll be in the actual the middle of the box, and what we have is little corner, sort of a little slit in each corner where each spider, the backup spiders will be sitting.
Can one spider come out and take over from the other?
Yes, if the main spider has or something's wrong with it, an astronaut can come and turn a little knob and it will release a new spider.
Now, how long have you been working on this experiment?
For 3 years now, Well, we were in Year 9 and we're going into Year 12 this year.
Okay. You'll have something to tell your mates about when you get back to Australia, won't you?
Yes, we will.
Now, what have you been doing over there? I believe you got there a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you been doing while you're there?
Well, we just went to... we've just been there. What happened was we had two students, and we had Patrick Lachlan and one of the teachers who came over earlier than us. And they've been setting up the experiment to get it ready so that it can be given to NASA to put into the payload bay.
And
they've been making agar gels, and they've been preparing the eggs in the agar gels so that they are released at the right time. And we've also been putting the spiders into boxes because we're trying to work out now which eight will be the best to actually send to space. So we're trying to find out which ones build the best webs, and we'll be using those ones.
Okay, now you're staying at, I believe, a hotel called the Best Western, and I guess their hospitality doesn't extend to getting ready spiders and so on. So where have you been doing all these experiments with the spiders?
We've been actually working at AstroTech. They have given us, we have a main room there where each of the groups are given tables and we do our experiments on there.
Okay, AstroTech being a company, of course, that prepares satellites for putting into space. So they've given you some of their clean rooms, have they?
Yes, they have.
Oh, great. Do you have to put on white gowns and coats and hats and things?
No, they have lab coats for us if we need to use them.
Okay, and how far away from the actual launch site is that?
7 miles.
Okay, 7 miles, about 12 kilometres away from the launch pad. Okay, well, are we going to talk to Elaine?
Yes, I'll just put her on for you.
Okay, we're going to talk now to Elaine from the Glen Waverley Secondary College. Hello, Elaine. I'll just reacquaint our listeners what they're listening to. You're on 88.3 Sullen FM. You're listening to a program called Kaleidoscope. Standing in for Terry Adams, I'm Andrew Rennie, and I'm talking to students at the, not quite at the Kennedy Space Centre, but certainly in the immediate area. And we're now speaking to Elaine from the Glen Waverley Secondary College. Good morning, Melbourne time. Good evening to you. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
And how's your... do you think you're going to be ready for the launch on Thursday?
Yes, we are, yep.
Yeah, so everything's going all right then?
Mm-hmm, everything's on schedule.
And have the Americans been very helpful to you?
Yes, they have. They really do. They have. They've, been giving us tours of the facilities and stuff.
Now, perhaps I could ask you something about your experiment. Will you have any interaction with the spiders after launch, or... perhaps the astronauts or something, or will you just simply put them aboard and hope they come back all right?
Yeah, in a way, yeah, we just put them on board. But after that, Nick Koss, a student, will be studying the properties of the web that might be different to what it would be on Earth.
And when will you know how your spiders have reacted to the flight? Will you get any information during the flight about that, or will you just have to wait until you see the results afterwards?
Oh, no. During the flight, they'll be, like, via the internet, there'll be, like, information available to us, like, still pictures or, like, some streaming movies and stuff like that. And, like, we can, like, access it through a live website.
Mm-hmm. And we'll give the web address to that and after we've spoken to you. It's the spacehab.com site, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, right, okay. We'll give the web address to that folks later, so get a pen handy, listeners. And any message you'd like to give to the folks back here in Melbourne, Elaine?
well, everything seems to be going okay, and everyone's really excited about the launch, and hopefully it'll be up on time.
And will you actually be able to go out and see the launch itself?
Yes, we will be. We'll be about 3 miles from where the launch is. Yep.
Oh, wow. That's, I think, what they call the press site, is it?
Yeah, I think it's the closest we can get to
the closest anyone ever gets. Well, you're in for a very mighty experience in that. We hope everything goes all right for you.
Thank you.
Okay, now, is there anyone else you want to put on the line? And you're on 88.3? Yes.
Sorry?
Yeah, I'm just talking to listeners, filling in the space.
Mm-hmm. My teacher, Mrs. Pratt, wants to talk.
Oh, Bronwyn Pratt. Okay. We're going to speak to
Hi,
now.
Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Speaking now with Bronwyn Pratt, who's a teacher at the Glen Waverley Secondary College. Good. How's it going there?
Oh, it's fine. The kids are really tired. But we're having a wonderful time over here. It's good to be here finally.
I'd say it's been a long trip, hasn't it?
It's been a long trip and a long few years, yeah.
Yeah, it started in 1999, didn't it?
That's right.
And your sponsorship, we should mention them, perhaps.
Oh, Cadbury Sweeps, we love them. We love Cadbury's. We've actually bought up a huge box of caramello koala chocolates to give out to all the people here to eat. So, and we're wearing our Cadbury shirts when we left on the plane, and all the way here on the plane from Melbourne to Orlando, people kept stopping us and saying, you know, what's Cadbury's? Why are you wearing a purple Cadbury shirt? And we explained to them that we were sending spiders into space with NASA and Spacehab, and they were really excited about the whole thing.
Okay, so exactly how did Cadbury's help you?
They gave us $40,000 to pay for our airfares to get to America.
And you wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise, would
there
you?
There is no way the kids probably could have afforded to pay the rest of the money. It's cost them probably nearly $4,000 just to get here and accommodations and food and spending money. So the extra $3,000 or $3,500 would have been really out of their, really too much for them to afford.
Mm. Well, thanks very much to your sponsors then.
Yeah, now, thanks to Cadbury's.
And you're looking forward to the launch, obviously, on... Is it looking like it's going to go on time?
At the moment, it's still on time. We had a bit of a setback the other day. They said they'd found some flaws in the outer cape. No, it's all off, though. But it's all going on again. So they're happy about it, and as far as we're concerned, it's going up between 10 and 2 in the daytime on the 16th of January. And we're going to be able to see it from the main launch viewing area, which is the banana area, which usually the astronauts' families get to go to. So they're opening it up for all of us to go to, which is a really special thing that NASA never lets anybody else do, because we're a special people, we're allowed to go there and have a look at it.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much, Bronwyn, for telling us about that.
And I've also got a person here called Joe, and he's from he's a teacher from LA, Los Angeles, and he'd like to speak to you too.
Yes, I'd love to
speak to Joe. Joe.
And you're listening to a program called Kaleidoscope.
Hi, Andrew.
Hello. I'm Andrew Rennie, and we're broadcasting on 88.3 Southern FM in Melbourne. And Joe, you're from Los Angeles, I'm just told.
Yes, I am.
And you're a teacher, are you?
Well, I'm an administrator now. I've worked with this project for the last 3 years and had many different jobs during it, but at this point in time, I'm a teacher advisor and an administrator for this. Yeah.
And have you been involved in the STARS project, have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, what's been your role in that?
Well, it started out first to get those in the LA school district interested in flying an experiment, and because of a number of issues, they couldn't do that at first, and then because of issues with the experiment that China was doing, them not being able to get out to Florida, the Los Angeles students took over, and so they're kind of processing the experiment and putting the payload together for them.
So you're basically flying the Chinese experiment, the same experiment, or just another experiment in lieu of that one?
No, it's the same experiment. There's been a few changes based on the way the silkworms are cooperating, putting their cocoons together and everything, but it's pretty much the same experiment that the students from China designed.
And will you be sending the results back to Beijing?
The results are available on the web, and so they'll be looking at that just like everybody else in L.A. will be looking. They'll get that data about an hour after it's transmitted, and some of the data will be 6 or 7 hours, depending on when they ship the video back to Houston to put up on the web.
Mm. And which school are you involved in?
Well, Dorsey High School is the school that's involved with this experiment. I'm actually with the entire Los Angeles Unified School District. We're a very large school district.
Have you been involved in anything like this before?
Yes, I have. I work with quite a number of NASA projects with the LA area, particularly with Mars exploration.
Okay. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about those.
Well, there are a couple things going on right now. One is called the Mars Rover Project, and that's where students simulate actually sending a rover to Mars. They transmit data back and forth between schools, and the schools each build a simulated landscape and don't tell the others what they look like, and then they try to reconstruct what they're looking at with the pictures that they get back sent over a robot. And then the other experiment is actually to fly something out to Mars in the next couple of years that will be with an organization known as the Planetary Society. And they have some experiments that are going to be put on the next Mars rover going out there. So those are the two main ones right now.
And do you find that motivates students in their studies?
Sure. Anytime, as a science teacher, I learned this early on, anytime you can get them involved, get their hands on things, the amount of science that's compressed into that time is worth its weight in gold. Standing up and talking to them is just, some will get it, but many will just, it'll just filter through one ear and out the other. It's best when they can get their hands on it and it's meaningful for them. Quite often that means that there's not necessarily an answer at the other end that they can see.
Yeah, well, it's important they learn the scientific process rather than just facts and things like that, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us on the...
Sure, one other thing you might want to know is the data that's on these experiments is available to the public on the website, and that's at www.starsacademy.com.
Stars Academy.
And you'll actually be able to see the video as well as some of the pictures coming in about 1 hour after it's sent up.
Oh, wonderful. So we'll be able to watch that during the 16 days of the mission.
Yeah, I think many of the experiments have different days when they'll actually be getting most of their data. I know the silkworm one is day 6 and day 10, but they're all different. They're all spelled out on there as well.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to us.
Okay, I'll put Lachman back on.
Yes, please.
All right.
And we've been talking with students, and that was Joe from the Los Angeles area. And now Lachlan Thompson, welcome back to the space show, Kaleidoscope at the moment.
Ah, thank you, Andrew. Well, as you can see, it's a quite a large program, educational program, and when you're actually out here, you get to appreciate how wonderful the learning experience is of a program like this. And one of the reasons why I'm over here is to also take up discussions with Spacehab as to how we can get other experiments like this running in Australia for Australian students, to get more of them involved, as well as university students, in these sort of space experiments, because as Joe has pointed out, it's real hard, touchy-feely stuff that people can relate to it, and more importantly, they have ownership of it. And So there's a high level of responsibility that builds up. And it's not just a matter of passing the exam, it's a matter of pride in making it work and curiosity. Why does it work, or will it work? How can I make it work?
Yes, I think that must be one of the key aspects, is it's not just simply a recipe type thing, like you often think of chemistry experiments. You just follow the recipe and hopefully get the product at the end. But this has actually got to design and do themselves, don't they?
Well, that's right. And one of the biggest benefits that we had with the Spire experiment was the fact that the launch was delayed, and it went over 3 years. And the students grew with this. They were able to actually expand additional experiments in their school and at RMIT, university, to get a greater understanding of what they were setting out to do. And if we'd actually flown in the original timescale of 6 to 9 months, the experiment would have been a very minimal exercise. And it's actually grown both in the learning experience, and it's also provided opportunity for other students to get involved. For example, we've got RMIT university students doing research on the spider silk, and we're going to look at how the variation of that behaviour is between microgravity and on Earth. And I've got another group of students that are actually studying how the spider goes about making its web, and they're linking in with a German university to look at actually designing programs for robots to assist in designing a space station that basically looks a bit like a bicycle wheel, where people would live in the tire shape, and these space wheels, the nearest equivalent would be to what you see in Arthur C. Clarke's movie 2001 A Space Odyssey. That sort of technology is cutting edge sort of material, and here we've got high school students breaking the ice, so to speak, providing data that will help lay down foundations to building structures in space in 10 or 20 years' time.
Well, thank you for joining us then, Lachlan, and we look forward to following the progress of this mission as it continues.
Well, thank you, Andrew. It's been a pleasure.
So at this stage then, it looks all set for launch on Thursday your time, Friday morning Melbourne time, is that right?
That's correct. It's all go. Actually, just before we went onto your program over here, they're interviewing the Israeli astronaut that is actually going on the mission. And he was talking quite excitedly about working with the ants and the spiders and the bees and the silkworms. It's quite interesting to see excitement of is infectious, and the scientific curiosity affects adults as well as youth.
Yes, it's quite a wide range of experiments on that shuttle, and it's the last full-up science shuttle mission they're going to hold for quite some time. Well, we've been talking with students and with Lachlan Thompson from RMIT University, and a big thank you to RMIT University for their help with this experiment, and with the Melbourne Zoo people. They've had a great help as well, and Cadbury Sweats, who flew those students over there.